to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone had a blessed weekend. It was a nice chill weekend here in sunny Florida. We had a lot of rain to begin with, but then it brought in a pretty nice cold front. Actually got down to 36 on Saturday night, which is the coldest we've had all winter. So that was pretty nice to actually have it come in a little bit. Florida cold's a little different. It's a very wet cold, so 36 is very, very chilly. But most throughout the day, it's around 50, 55, 60 lately, which has been a blast. So that's been nice. And how are you doing today, Dev?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful, Austin, as always. And we've got a lot of news to cover with you guys today. So everybody grab a piece of paper and pencil if you can. Or you can listen to the podcast more than once. What do you want to do? I got an article here. I want to share this with you. The United States last year, I want to cover something for 2016, dropped an average of 72 bombs every single day on other countries. And this is just, no, this is just wrong. This whole stuff's got to stop, man. It's that banking industrial complex is doing this, the military industrial banking complex. The U.S. dropped 26,171 bombs last year, 3,000 more than in 2015 by our Nobel Prize winning president. According to the analyst of Defense Department data from the Council on Foreign Relations, a nonpartisan think tank, the majority of the bombs were dropped in Iraq and Syria. The U.S. leads, we're not supposed to be in Syria because of the Treaty of Versailles, and not Versailles, the Treaty of Westphalia. The U.S. leads an international coalition fighting the Islamic State both in both countries and has carried out air operations and attempt to reduce the area controlled by the terrorist organization that we fund, by the way. Nearly the same amount of bombs were dropped in Syria, 12,000 last year, in Iraq, 12,000. This amounts to an average of 72 bombs per day for the year. We dropped 1,292 in Syria, 12,000 in Iraq, 1,300 in Afghanistan, about 500 in Libya. I don't know why we're still bombing Libya. Yemen 34, Somalia 14, and Pakistan 3. Now, the reason I'm saying this is this. We bomb these countries into rubble like this, and then we bring these people into our country, and we wonder why they hate us. I don't even know what to say. I mean, if somebody had dropped 12,000 bombs in Florida last year, and our neighborhoods were all bombed to crap and back, and everything looked bad, everything was walking around in rubble, or they dropped 12,000 bombs in Florida, you know, the beginning of this year, and it's bombing, you know, we would not be a real big fan of those people, Austin. What do you think? I mean, this is kind of ridiculous that we think that we can bring these people in after we've done this to them.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it is sad because, I mean, there's two sides of the table everybody has to look at. I mean, you have one where these guys have an extremely hateful religion over there, and then on top of that, we're bombing them, which is making them hate us even more. And then, like you said, then we basically take out all essential elements and infrastructure, water treatment plants, electrical grids, stuff like that, anything they actually did have to begin with that was useful. And then you make it unbelievably useless as a city, as a country, as an overall region, and then you start bringing them into our country, and then you start wondering why they're constantly wanting to do jihad like this on Friday with this whole shooting thing. That whole thing didn't make any sense to me in Fort Lauderdale at all. I've been reading about it. Now they're claiming that the guy is a white Hispanic that's been watching ISIS videos. The whole thing just absolutely stinks of a false flag. Doesn't make any sense at all. They said he checked in a bag with a pistol in it, then he got it from the baggage claim or something, and then began to shoot everybody. The issue that I think this is only going to promote is now they're going to start calling for more government security, more TSA expansion, more checks in the airports, more this, more that, more security to protect us. And the truth about it is, this guy already seemed like he was a nut if it really was a legitimate shooting, as far as he actually did this and this wasn't some patsy they set up or some guy they drugged or used some MK Ultra mind control on to get him to engage in this type of behavior. I don't know. But now, like I said, they're saying that he's a white Hispanic that listened to ISIS videos and watched ISIS stuff. So who knows what the truth is with all of this. But a lot of it doesn't surprise me at all with a lot of the people that we're bringing into this country, even though I think he was actually a U.S. citizen, to my knowledge, Deb.
Austin, again, everything's shrouded in secrecy. Notice we've never got the final police report from the Orlando shooting from the nightclub. At least I haven't seen it. That's been 6 months ago. And the thing about it is that, you know, they don't really tell us what they find out or what they, you know, determine at the end as far as cause. I mean, it's just one of these things that sensationalized in the news for a couple of days, all about gun control, and then it just kind of quickly goes away. But we've got a couple of weeks left until Trump gets in the office, which is absolutely wonderful for all of us who voted for him. I mean, I'm just believing it and praying to God right now that he can just get in and get without being assassinated and get in and just basically start making the changes that he wants to make, because he's got some pretty big things that he wants to do, and I hope he can get it done. By the way, a lot of you guys are using dryer sheets. Now, I won't use them because of the chemicals they put in the dryer sheets, and I want to tell you why. Most commercial dryer sheets, because it makes the fabric softer, and the reason they have, the way they do that, they use benzyl acetate, benzyl alcohol, chloroform, linalool. All of these things are toxic. All these stuff end up in your skin because they end up on top of the fumes. Plus, when you put it in the dryer, they're unbelievably toxic. And the toxins go straight to the brain's most sensitive neurological centers and wreak havoc. This is what people don't get. When they're using dryer sheets or they're coating their clothes, their artificial chemical perfumes, the fragrances, chemicals are extremely toxic. They're known carcinogens that can cause liver damage and cancer in mammals. In a recent study performed by UW professor Dr. Ann Steinman, a research team conducted a small study to understand the effects of fragrances on laundry products, both dryer sheets, both detergent and dryer sheets. The results discovered more than 25 volatile organic compounds emitted from dryer vents with the highest concentrations of acetaldehyde, acetone, and ethanol. To put it in context, one of the two carcinogenics, VOC, acetaldehyde, had emissions that would represent 3% of total acetaldehyde emissions from automobiles in the study area. This is a major bunch of stuff. And this article lists all of this stuff and how poisonous it is. Guys, I know years ago my father-in-law died, and I inherited a bunch of handkerchiefs from him. And I started using the handkerchiefs, and I was, you know, cleaning my nose with them. Also, my whole nose kind of swelled shut. I couldn't believe it. And he'd been using these dryer sheets in his clothes, and it actually had that type of allergic reaction to me. This is some crazy stuff that we're putting in our laundry, and we're inhaling this stuff, and we're basically getting it on our skin, etc. Also, if you're using dry cleaning a lot, I'm not talking about laundering, but I'm talking about dry cleaning with the chemicals, studies have now shown it massively increases the risks of Parkinson's disease. I repeat that. Dry cleaning your clothes massively increases the risks of Parkinson's disease. I'm not talking about laundering your clothes, just dry cleaning them, you know, with the solvents. So, guys, if you have to dry clean something, that's one thing. But don't do it on a regular basis and wear that stuff. It's just really, really not healthy to do that. And try to avoid wearing stuff so often that you've got to keep it dry clean, especially like if it's a wool suit or something like that. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, you're very right on that. I mean, people don't think about it, you know, when you start putting all these, because I try and use a natural laundry detergent that we use here because it's real good. I mean, there's no chemicals in it. It's safe for hunter's skin and everything else. But a lot of people don't ever take that into effect. I'm glad you brought that up because we don't really mention that much. But a lot of the chemicals with the Tide and the fabric softeners and the dryer sheets you were just mentioning, all this stuff has multiple different types of chemicals in it. A lot of them are petroleum-based as well. Very toxic. I remember years and years ago, this is a long time ago, we're in the motorhome with one of my best friends. We were on a motorhome trip, and we stopped at a laundromat to basically go do laundry, just do some laundry real quick. We were going for, I think it was with you, Dad, you and Mom, a couple other people with us. So we stopped this laundromat. They had the laundry soap there. It was pretty much just plug and play. You put the stuff in and came out, done, clean, whatever, and he threw one of the shirts on, and I remember a couple hours later we're in there, and he pulled his shirt up, and it looked like he had full-blown chicken pox all over his skin, and we couldn't figure out what was going on, so we took his shirt off. He had another one that he hadn't washed. He took a shower and put that one on, and it died down in about 4 to 5 hours, and after a little bit of putting two and two together, we realized that he had a massive allergic reaction to whatever cheap laundry detergent they were using in this laundry shop. And so, yeah, guys, that's a lot to think about. Most people just brush it off, but you're wearing clothes pretty much about, you know, 10 to 15 hours out of the day on a regular basis, unless you're at home lounging, and you're sweating in them all day, you're out in the sun, you're in the cold, you're back and forth, and all those chemicals, all those petroleum-based products all leach into the cotton, the wool, whatever you're wearing, and it rubs on the skin. So, yeah, very important to make sure you're looking at what you're putting in your laundry and you're not using any type of these nasty, nasty chemicals. And because, yeah, there's a lot of side effects long-term when you think about it. Because remember, the skin is the largest eliminating organ in the body. So So if you coat it down in toxins with your clothes all day long that are right up next to your skin, it has a very, very difficult time with eliminating some of the toxins. And it's just not a good idea, in my opinion. And Dad's the same way as I am on that.
I just don't do it. In fact, what I had to do is I had to take all the handkerchiefs from Warren, and I had to go ahead and have them rewashed in organic detergent, and it took care of it. So it's just one of those things, guys. Just be really careful what you put on your skin. It's super important. By the way, the black seed oil now has been shown to treat successfully hepatitis C patients. Isn't that crazy? This stuff does everything. Hepicide, little black seed powerfully treats hepatitis C patients. Known mostly as a food condiment, this little black seed carries a medicinal punch so powerful that it's being studied to treat some of the world's most deadly diseases. Black seed oil is a medicine that has been long revered in the Middle East as the remedy for everything but death. It has been undergoing something of a scientific revival in the past few years, whereas in the recent past, folkloric medicine was largely considered a byproduct of the pre-scientific magical thinking. A veritable tidal wave of modern biomedical research is lending validation to the wisdom of the ancients and their near universal adoption of food and spice-based medicine as their default medical system. You know, now another study is being done and just been getting finished right now showing that food has been treating successfully Crohn's disease in people with problems with intestinal tracts and inflammation of the intestinal system with absolutely no drugs whatsoever. Now, we've seen this in our office many, many, many times. And so what we're saying here now, what we're starting to see, is that food is actually your best medicine. Food is your best medicine. I remember years ago, I had gotten under tremendous assault here in Central Florida when I was on a talk show called WCIE with Tom Trolson. And I said that food could be used as your best medicine and that your diet would directly affect your health and how healthy you were by the food that you eat. And local medical professionals said that I was a heretic because I said that what you ate affected your health. I mean, Austin, I can't even believe they were that stupid, to be honest with you. I mean, you see people that are running around, they're 40, 50, 100 pounds, 200 pounds, 300 pounds overweight. Do the people not think that that food affected their health and caused them to have obesity and heart disease and diabetes and everything else? It's absolutely amazing to me that back in the 80s, I came under such a tremendous assault from local medical professionals in our area because I made the great bold statement of saying food affects your health. Unbelievable. Son, what do you think?
It couldn't be any clearer said. I mean, it really can't. We've seen that now. I mean, you have to be living under a rock for the last 10 years to not realize what you eat has a tremendous impact on your diet. I mean, it does. If you don't think so, just start eating McDonald's and Taco Bell every day and see how absolutely horrible you feel over the next couple months. I don't recommend people doing that. I'm just using that as an analogy. I don't recommend eating McDonald's or Taco Bell ever. But a lot of times people don't realize when they're having health issues or they're having issues conceiving, if they're having some type of organ problems, if they're having issues with bowel movements, chronic colds, chronic fatigues, a lot of that stems down to what you're putting in your body. Your body is going to put out what you put in. Now, I mean, if you saved up your money, if you put down thousands and thousands of dollars every year and you finally got enough money saved up to go buy a high-end race car, go buy a Porsche, go buy a Ferrari, whatever your dream car is, and you go and buy it, brand new, super high-end, you know, 600, 700, 800 horsepower, pick it, whatever you want. And you go, well, I spent all this money on this car, but I really don't want to put good gas in here. I'm going to go to the store, see whatever the cheapest stuff they have in the back of the shop, the old gas that's sitting in the old tanks. They'll give it to me for like $1 a gallon. I'm going to put that in the Ferrari because I really don't want to spend $250 a gallon on premium. It's just too expensive. I know I spent $200,000 or $300,000 on this car, but I'm not going to spend any more than $1 a gallon on fuel. I'd rather put the cheapest, worst performance fuel in this car to save me a little bit of money, and that way I'll be able to drive around and save a couple dollars. There's not a single person that I've ever heard say that, nor will you ever find somebody that says that anywhere. Yet people do the same thing with their bodies that are worth way more than a few $100,000. You can't replace your body. You can't do anything to your body except treat it the best you can, in my opinion, and that is the only option, at least for myself and my family. You only have one body, and once you start having a health problem here or there, it's a very sobering effect to realize you have to make sure you do the very best you can in every aspect of life to really treat it good. And I'm not saying you can't go out and occasionally have a milkshake or a hamburger. You guys know I'm not super, super strict on that. The truth is, if you exercise properly, you take proper nutrients, and you eat clean, 90% of the time. If you want to go out occasionally for a special occasion and have a dessert or have something like that, there's nothing wrong with it. Your body can process it, metabolize it just fine. But people that go in and sit down and eat these meals every single day, day in and day out, fast food here, the cheapest, nastiest food at the restaurant here. I have a couple of mine, and I've talked about them before. I love them. They're a great couple. They're super nice, but she's had an unbelievably hard time getting pregnant. She's like 300 pounds, and I've talked to them numerous times about their diet. They don't listen, and I told them the other day, I said, listen, I said, you guys are trying to get pregnant, but you're trying to go from A to Z, and you're skipping the whole alphabet. I said, if you go in and you start exercising, you start eating clean, you start taking care of your body, you get your bowel movements correct, you start getting proper fibers and your whole body functioning perfectly and getting your organs cleaned out, you'll be able to get pregnant very, very easily, in my opinion, unless there's something else going on, but they haven't. They've been a fertility doctor. Everything's perfect as far as sperm, egg mobility, everything, except she's massively overweight, and she literally feeds herself sodas and junk food all day long. And I'm not picking on her, but I'm using it as an analogy, guys, that so many people want to have the end results of having a kid or looking good for the beach or feeling good, but then nobody wants to go through the time in the gym, the time in the kitchen, the saving money trying to get better quality food at the store instead of constantly buying luncheon meats and microwavable foods and McDonald's on the way home from work. Everybody wants to have the benefits of eating good, training hard, and staying lean and fit, yet nobody wants to put in the work and most of the time when I talk to these people. And it's very quite simple once you get into the role of it. A lot of times it can be daunting at the beginning, but after the first 2 to 3 weeks of just eating clean, staying on a clean diet, getting your body cleaned out, you will be shocked on how much better you feel, especially when you start adding in stuff like the Ultimate Multiple, the B-Complex, the Omega-3s, pretty much our basic healthy lifestyle kit is what I always recommend people starting out with. And a lot of times, for most people, that's all they ever need. A healthy diet with some moderate exercise and the basic healthy lifestyle kit, they will feel the best they've ever felt, or at least the best they've felt since they were in their teens. And I've heard that so many times from people. But again, as Dad just said, it's all about what you put in your body. You can't put in garbage on a regular basis and expect to feel like rainbows and sunshines every day when all you're doing is funneling toxins and chemicals into your body every single day. It doesn't work.
Well, here's another analogy. Years ago, I watched a TV show, and they taught a horse how to drink beer. I don't know if you ever saw that or not. Also, it was funny. The horse would hold the bottle up and just guzzle the beer. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. And, you know, okay, well, if a horse wants to drink beer, I guess that's all right. I mean, I think it's kind of ridiculous giving a horse beer, but that's okay, I guess. I mean, I don't really know why you would do that. But what was interesting about this is, you know, the horse kind of get inebriated, you know, in the video. Now, that was all staged. I don't know. So here's the thing. Let's take Secretariat when he was alive back in 73 when he won the Triple Crown. I mean, I watched that race. It was amazing. And I watched all three of the races, actually. And what was funny about that is I know that, you know, he'd had an abscessed tooth before he started running the Triple Crown, and he wasn't doing really well, so they had to really get him on a clean diet, which he kept on all the time anyhow. But here's the thing. Let's say you have a horse that's worth millions and millions and millions of dollars, and you train it and you exercise it, but you want to go ahead and feed it junk food all the time. Feed it junk food. I mean, you got a horse that's got to run the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness and the Belmont, trying to win a Triple Crown, and you go out and teach it to drink beer so he gets drunk the night before. And you got a horse that's got a hangover, if they can get hangovers. I don't know how they metabolize alcohol. And you basically have this mess that you've done to this animal. And you say, well, Ted, you would never do that. You would never treat your horse like that. You wouldn't do it. Guys, people treat their kids like that all the time. People treat themselves like that. They would never waste the money on buying junk food and all the training for this horse if it was such a champion, and then turn around and allow it to get poisoned by the food they were feeding it. They wouldn't. They'd buy the best grain, the best hay, the best alfalfa hay, the best oats, everything it could get. Everything would have to be the best, all organic, everything, to make sure that horse could run at its peak performance when it was running in a race. Well, guys, that's how you need to treat your body. Are you not much more valuable than a horse? Are your children not much more valuable than a horse? Don't you have the ability to do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Don't you have that right? Did the Bible give you that promise? I mean, I've seen so many people, Austin, they're always sick. Every time they have a prayer line in the front of the church, they always run up to the front of the church to get prayed for. And then you see them when they leave church and they're, you know, at McDonald's or Taco Bell. You see them pulling them into the parking lot and you're like, okay, well, maybe the reason you have diabetes or maybe the reason you have cancer is because of the food you eat and the way you take care of yourself. So if God supernaturally heals them from these diseases, if they go back to the same lifestyle, those diseases just come back. I've seen it over and over and over and over again. So guys, Austin's absolutely right. Take care of your body. Realize it's the only one you've got. It's got to last for at least as long as you stay on this energy field, this planet that we're in these dimensions. You might as well enjoy it while you're here. I mean, you know, it's not, you're not, your spirit's not going to die anyhow. You can't destroy energy. It just changes forms. It's not going to be destroyed. So we're going to go to a different place, go to God in heaven when we're connected to Him in His dimension through the Holy Spirit. That's what's going to happen. So we're not going to really miss out on much. We're going to kind of just be here and then be there in a blink of an eye. So just take care of your body. By the way, the vaccine-derived polio is spreading in polio-free India. Vaccine-derived polio is spreading throughout India again. But yet again, children are being left paralyzed from oral polio vaccines again and again and again. Remember, we talked about this last week. They're no longer allowed to call it polio. They can't call it polio any longer. They have to basically, I think it's called acute flaccid paralysis now. And what that simply means is that they've changed the name. And they're giving this live vaccine to these children that are causing all of this polio in India. Now, this is just nuts. This is what they're doing, and it's sad to me that this is allowed to happen. So, guys, if somebody wants to give your kids a polio vaccine with live vaccine, it should just be no. How about no? How about just no thank you? How about leave and get out? How about that? That sounds a little better to me. Crazy here, Austin. This is actually happening, and that people are seeing it, and they're allowing it to happen, and it's absolutely nuts to me, bud.
It's scary and it's sad at the same time. And I talked about this a couple months ago, but if you want a perfect example of what happens when you have an entire group of individuals that are not eating GMOs, that are not getting vaccinated, look at the Amish who That's do not right. get vaccinated, yet they rarely get autism, cancer, heart disease, any of that stuff, rarely. In some cases, obviously, they do, but the percentages are much lower. Amish children experience hardly any learning disabilities at all. In fact, nor the Amish experiencing any of those stuff I just mentioned, and they don't eat GMOs, they don't get vaccines. And remember, guys, children are not born with autism. It appears during infancy or childhood and is usually, in my opinion, brought on by an overload of neurotoxins, either consumed or ingested or exposed to. And so you have to start thinking about the fact that United States kids, and I've talked about this before, get 50 inoculations of vaccines before the age of 7 now. 50! Many of them, almost all of them, if you do the research, have all types of different disease strains in them. Mercury, formaldehyde, aluminum, MSG, polysorbate 80, a whole plethora of chemical cocktails added to them. The flu shot contains mercury up to 25,000 times the amount of what the EPA allows maximum in drinking water and edible fish. I'm going to repeat that. In some of the vaccines they've tested, the flu vaccines, they contained up to 25,000 times the amount of mercury that the EPA allows maximum in drinking water and edible fish. And remember, guys, mercury is the second most poisonous element known to mankind. And I'm going to repeat this article because I talked about it a month ago. It was a peer-reviewed study that was called Frontiers in Public Health by Jennifer Marquise. She's a PhD. The study was assigned a DOI number, and the abstract was published on the journal's website. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think this thing got pulled down, and they're trying to get it back up because the vaccine industry does not want this thing released. You guys remember, the abstract described a study comparing the health outcomes of 660 fully vaccinated or fully unvaccinated children between the ages of 6 to 12 living in Florida, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Oregon. The researchers found that while unvaccinated children were significantly more likely to get either chicken pox or whooping cough, which both of those you can recover from, they were significantly less likely to have any allergies, ear infections, pneumonia, central nervous systems disorders, including autism or learning disorders, than the fully vaccinated children. Indeed, the vaccinated children had twice the risk of chronic illness and four times the risk of autism, learning disabilities, and ADHD. Vaccine children who had been born premature and been given vaccines were six times more likely to suffer from autism or other central nervous disorders than unvaccinated children. Guys, this was a peer-reviewed study that was accepted for publication, and they're trying to pull it down again. This right here is clear-cut evidence that we have a significant problem with the vaccines that are being injected into our children all over this country and all over the world. 50 different inoculations by the time they're 7 years of age makes absolutely no logical sense to me at all, and neither to a lot of doctors now around the country and around the world that are starting to wake up and look at these research studies and going, hey, maybe we don't need to just completely get rid of vaccines to begin with all of a sudden, but maybe we need to at least look at what they're putting in these vaccines, what they're allowing them to be injected in these children, and also to this vaccine schedule that is literally gone up. I mean, if you look at the numbers, and we talked about this before the other day, if you look at the numbers on it, ADD, the spike over the past two decades in the U.S. has directly coincided with the vaccine schedule increase by quantity and frequency. I've talked about that numerous times. The 20-year spike that we have seen in autism coincides directly with the CDC's mandated vaccine schedule that has exploded over the last 20 years. That is not coincidence, guys. You can't call that coincidence. So you have to start looking at why these children are having such significant health problems en masse. Health problems, including autism and central nervous system disorders, and look at it and go, maybe there's a reason why. Maybe I need to think about vaccinating my children. Maybe I need to at least look into it and do some more research. That's all I tell everybody is do research, make your own conclusion, but do not be pressured by anybody to have a needle stuck into your child and vaccinated forcibly until you know exactly what is going in them and you're fully aware of what you're doing to your child and what the risks are going to be in the future.
I couldn't say it any better. Now, the reason we cover this so much is because we have so many new listeners coming in every single day. And the vaccine issue to both Austin and I is so incredibly important because of what is happening to our kids and how they're being damaged repeatedly because of this. Austin now has gotten on my bandwagon that I've been on for many years, now that he has a nine-month-old little baby boy who's absolutely just staggeringly beautiful and intelligent. Because, you know, it's one of those things. When you start having kids, you start to realize that their health is your responsibility. I mean, you're the one taking care of them, and you've got to take care of them. You got to treat them right. You got to feed them right. You got to take care of them. You got to do all the stuff you're supposed to do as a parent, and you start to realize that. Next story. Trump is going to have the first Christian inauguration in history. What a glorious event the inauguration of President Trump will be. All the Christians will applaud the latest announcement from the Inauguration Committee. As Trump just announced, Franklin Graham and six other religious figures will speak at the event. I mean, incredible. Graham is an early supporter of Trump, and he said, "I don't have any specific information. I don't have a stack of emails to read to you, but I've got an opinion. I believe it was God, and God showed up." I agree with him 100%. We talked about this on the show before. He answered the prayers of hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people, across the land who have been praying for this country. God showed up through the will of the American people, and Trump was easily elected. Since the first inaugural ceremonies, our leaders have paid tribute to the blessings of liberty that have been bestowed upon our country and its people. Tom Barrack, the chairman of the Presidential Inaugural Committee, has said in a statement, "I'm pleased to announce that a diverse set of faith leaders will offer readings and prayers at the swearing-in of the President-elect Trump and honor the vital roles of religious faith and how it plays its part in our multicultural, vibrant nation." I am so excited about this, Austin, that they're calling it the first Christian inauguration in history. I mean, wow. You know, it's amazing. Oh, by the way, if anybody watched Meryl Streep last night, she actually just made a complete and total buffoon of herself, you know, in her comments about Donald Trump. And I'm not going to, I'll be honest with you, I'm done with Meryl Streep. Now, she is one of the finest actresses in Hollywood. There is absolutely no doubt about that. But I will not watch another movie that she comes out with. I will not do it. I may watch it on TV when I'm not going to pay for it, but I'm no longer going to support her. You say, well, that's an extreme. No, it's not. I mean, the same thing happened with the Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt's come out with some movies that have been absolutely horribly politically crazy, the stuff that he's done. And I will not go to the movies and pay for another Brad Pitt movie, nor will I pay for a George Clooney movie, nor will I pay for a Meryl Streep movie. And see, guys, if we all do this together in the aggregate and we stop going to their movies and we stop paying them for the movies, they're not going to hire them to do the movies anymore. And we can have other actors and actresses come in who are going to may not be as good of an actor, but at least they'll be a Christian, hopefully be a Christian, and someone who won't come out and just be blows last night. Absolutely ridiculous, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, I didn't hear it or see any of that last night. I didn't watch it, so I mean, it doesn't surprise me that people are still bashing him. But it is pretty exciting to see what keeps going on. Now, the Representative Jeff Duncan and John Carter introduced H.R. 367. They reintroduced it, which is the Hearing Protection Act. So they're pretty confident that this is going to go through this year. Trump's son has already said that Donald Trump is in big favor of it. What this will do, this will remove suppressors, or otherwise known as silencers, a lot of people call them, from the NFA registry, which will be very nice. So you will no longer have to pay a $200 tax stamp, nor will you have to go through the doggone red tape with ATF to get your suppressors. I also like it, too, because the bill also includes the provision to refund the $200 tax stamp to all applicants who purchase a suppressor after October 22nd, 2015, which is the original date of the introduction. That would be nice because I am still waiting on a tax stamp from a can that I ordered back in June. So I'm not very happy about that. ATF is one of the most unconstitutional, basically, agencies, in my opinion, of all time, completely of all time. That is one of the prime examples of just absolute spendthrift run amok. Absolutely no regulation whatsoever. They do what they want. They act like they do not have to abide by constitutional law whatsoever. They're completely out of touch with reality, and they essentially don't do anything productive for anything for the United States of America. They really need to be abolished, and any of their actual handlings that they handle that are essential elements of government that need to be handled can easily be taken over by the FBI. But this whole nonsense that they've been handled, as far as unbridled, unfettered access to the American public to do whatever they want. Remember, they're the just unbelievably, incredibly awesome people that gave us the Waco massacre and also Ruby Ridge with Randy Weaver up there. So ATF, as far as I'm concerned, if we can take any regulatory authority from them whatsoever, I am for it 100%. We can take suppressor regulation from them. I think we need to do that immediately, and it'll be very nice for all of us so we can actually shoot safely and effectively and not have to wear hearing protection, which I love, and don't have to pay tax stamps. You go to the store, they make you pass a background check like you do buying a pistol instead of treating it like an NFA item. So I'm pretty excited about that, Dad. It looks like it'll definitely go through once Trump gets a hold of it.
Well, yes. I mean, I've got a 45, a FNN 45 battle pistol, and I ordered it, you know, with a silencer, a can, and it's unbelievably quiet. I mean, you can sit there and plunk 40. You know, 45 is pretty loud, but they're subsonic rounds, so it just completely muffles it. Literally, it sounds like an airsoft pistol. It just goes poof, poof, when you shoot it with a 45. No hearing protection is needed. Doesn't affect the accuracy of the weapon at close ranges. I love it because you can go out to the range and you can shoot it and not have to worry about, you know, damaging your eardrum or having your ears ring all day. I also, the other day, we went out to a range and they had a 50 caliber we could shoot, you know, with or without a silencer. And I highly recommend that you don't waste your money on buying a silencer for a 50 because it didn't do much. All it did was throw a bunch of junk back in your face because it wasn't working. The muzzle brake wasn't working properly, and it was still incredibly loud, but not nearly as loud as it was without the silencer on the 50. But what was interesting to me with this 50 was they had the gun sighted in at 600 yards, so we were plinking the targets with a man-sized silhouette at 600 yards, literally, you know, hitting the target, swinging steel plates, you know, the figurine up there. And when you put the can on that, it didn't have any drop. It didn't do anything. It's 600 So I mean, that's an amazing piece of equipment. You guys ever?
Yeah. Anyways, the suppressors are really nice. I like them. Huge proponent of them. I will buy multiple more if I don't have to go through a 7 to 9 month wait on my tax stamp purchase. Just ridiculous to buy a suppressor. Last time I checked on the Second Amendment, it doesn't say the right will not be infringed on anything but suppressors. You know, last time I checked, you know, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. I didn't see a suppressor clause in there, or a short barrel rifle clause, or even a machine gun clause. So I'm a very big proponent of getting rid of ATF and the NFA Act. So we'll see what happens with Trump, if he's actually going to be able to do any of that. But good start would be the silencers, because a lot of people, not only would it increase people wanting to get into shooting more and safely shooting more, because people will like shooting rifles that are very loud when they're suppressed. I know my wife, I have a suppressor for one of my short barrel ARs, and she loves shooting it with a can. Without the can, it's a very, very loud, obnoxious weapon. With it on there, she really enjoys shooting it quite a bit. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting.
I'm back
as much as, okay, we're glad to have you back, man. I don't know what happened there. But in other news now, if you didn't think that the United States was wanting to go with war to war with Russia, now you might want to think twice about that. Resolve cargo ship arrived on Wednesday, and two more vessels arriving on Germany yesterday. The U.S. plans to deliver a total of 87 Abrams M1 tanks, 20 Paladin Army vehicles, and 136 Bradley fighting vehicles to Eastern Europe. 4,000 American troops will reportedly be spread across Poland, the Baltic states, Bulgaria, and Romania, where they'll remain on a rotation basis. So if, and also, too, excuse me, they're sending in another 50 Black Hawk helicopters and 10 more Chinooks. So this is interesting to see what's going on over there, as if we don't have enough things going on in the United States and everything else that's going on with ISIS, trying to get rid of them out of Syria. Now we're sending heavy weapons and artillery machines over to the border of Russia to essentially, in my opinion, try and start and invoke World War III with them, all under the guise of fake news, because they rigged our elections, which we all know is complete and total lie. So it's interesting to see this happening, but it's not surprising. What do you think about that, Dad?
Well, we've got to think through this for a second, number one, and this is why we got to pray. Number one, troop deployment takes weeks, if not months, to get this stuff set up. Obama supposedly out of office in 2 weeks, right? Less than 2 weeks. So unless he's planning on staying in office, he will never be able to use these troops or this equipment. All he's doing is just spending hundreds of millions of dollars and having stuff relocated, and Trump's just probably going to call it all back. I mean, this is very weird to me, because I don't trust this guy. This Gay Kenyon guy is so awful, because he's not in charge. The Rothschild banking cartel is telling him what to do, along with the Rockefellers and all those other boys. And I'm going to cover that. I've got a whole show I'm going to be preparing for Hagman in a couple of weeks on this. I'm going to cover it with you guys, too, and how it actually breaks down with the cartels and how they, who's really running the planet. Because it's kind of like a hodgepodge right now, with the Nazis involved in the middle of it, with the Fourth Reich, with the Mossad, with the Sabbateans who are running the banking system. It's just a real mess, but I've got a, actually got a pretty good handle on how it's actually laid out now, so I'm going to cover all that. But guys, it's just, we got to continue to pray. We've got to get through the inauguration. We've got to get the Gay Kenyon out of the White House. I should say the Gay Muslim Kenyon out of the White House, and be done with him and be in good riddance with him, and have Trump start rescinding executive orders. Then Trump can go ahead and rescind all of this nonsense with this troop deployment. I mean, it's ridiculous, Austin, because it's very strange for a president to be doing this, you know, a week or so before he's going to be out of office. It just doesn't make any sense to me why he would do this, unless he has something up his sleeve, which I hope and pray that our Congress and our military has enough sense not to go along with this stuff, because as soon as Trump gets in office, he and Putin are going to be buddies, and maybe that's, you know, what is it? I hope that's going to be what we're going to have anyhow, but gosh, God, it's going to be a mess. By the way, scalar energy. When you take two radio waves and you lay them on top of each other, they annihilate each other, creating a longitudinal wave. When you take two longitudinal waves and you lay them on top of each other, you create a scalar wave. When we pray, we have scalar waves that come in and change the very fabric of space-time. Now, what's interesting, now they're developing health equipment using scalar energy, which I found is so amazing. I want to talk to you guys about this. And it said that based on quantum physics and scalar waves, discovered by physicist Nikola Tesla, this relatively unknown form of medicine is the future of healing, according to this article. And it says that they're using a revolutionary type of science using scalar energy should to allow this scalar energy to come in and heal you. Scalar waves, also called longitudinal waves, which is, by the way, incorrect, and Tesla waves, which is correct, can travel faster than the speed of light with the ability to penetrate solid objects. Some medical devices now are using proprietary scalar wave technology to determine past and present health conditions and can help the immune system combat stress arising from environmental toxins, heavy metals, and infections, and electromagnetic frequencies. These doctors are reporting the device can reduce depression and anxiety, improve sleep and mental clarity, enhance physical performance, slow down the aging process, ease digestive disorders, and promote detoxification by using the right frequency. It all goes back together again with what Royal Rife did. So I thought this was a really cool article to talk about. I just want to mention it briefly, Austin, how scalar energy is apparently the next major healing discovery, and we know that Jesus transmits through scalar energy the healing frequency to connect us to the Holy Spirit from the cross still, from the blood of Christ. So we've done many shows on that, but it's neat to me how science is now catching up to what God has shown us is the right way of doing this. And guys, listen to me. A lot of the healing things that we know about, like Manuka honey out of New Zealand, is one of the best wound dressing agents known. A good friend of mine, Bob DeAndres, who owns the Christian Broadcast Network out of Clearwater, he's the CEO, he had a hole in his foot, in his leg, that basically wouldn't heal. It had been open for months. They couldn't get it to heal. Therapy and everything else. He had it packed with honey by one of the local doctors who knew how to use this product, this Manuka honey, and it healed within a week. So if you've got a problem with skin lesions or skin problems, talk to your doctor, see if it's okay with him if you try this. Because, guys, it's supposed to be one of the best wound dressings available today. I thought that was pretty cool that it actually does that. And supposedly it works with MRSA. But, again, I would check with your medical doctor if you have something as serious as MRSA before you start doing self-treatment. Austin, what's your next story?
Yeah, that is definitely you talked to me about that earlier. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, and also, too, to go on what we were just talking about, which is pretty strange also with what Gay Kenyon, as you refer to him as, was doing is Alex Jones had a thing on this over the weekend that I watched, and I just pulled it up today to verify it, and it's weird considering the fact that Obama has like less than 2 weeks left. We've talked about this before, but now they went out and officially declared that state elections will be deemed critical infrastructure, and he put the DHS completely in control of elections now, federalizing all elections, even at state level, which is very strange to me, which is not a coincidence at all that after DHS made the announcement just hours after the Intelligence Committee declassified their Russian hacking propaganda, stating very effective social media distribution platform like RT, while once again providing absolutely no actual evidence. Again, it was just more talking about how Russia did this, Russia did that, no evidence whatsoever. Now we need to make sure the elections and everything that are critical infrastructure are controlled and handled by DHS. The sad thing about this, and it's sad you have to say this, but almost every time the government federalizes something, almost every time they get involved with something, it usually goes bad for everybody involved that likes to be free. Just simply put, I mean, look at when DHS was enacted after the Patriot Act in 2001. Look at TSA. Look at all these agencies the government pulls out of a hat and says, we're basically going to make you fund them now, and you're going to have to pay them out of your taxpayer dollars to control you and to reduce your freedom. Now we're allowing Homeland Security to completely control and operate, federalize the election process. I have a very, very bad feeling about that. And what's so odd to me is what Dad just said, why in the world is he doing this less than 2 weeks before he's out of office? Makes no sense to me at all, because Trump could get in there immediately and say, well, Homeland Security is not going to have federal powers over elections, so I'm going to revoke that. I don't understand why he's doing this unless he's trying to get things in play and he knows there's going to be some type of weird false flag that's been planned ahead, some type of banking collapse, some type of first strike from a different country? I don't know. I'm just speculating. But again, guys, this is why I've told you for months now, no matter what happens, everybody needs to make sure you're self-sufficient and adequately prepared for whatever happens. I'm not doom and glooming. I'm not fear-porning. None of that weird stuff. All I'm saying is use your mental capacity to its maximum ability and be as proficient as possible with everything you own and be self-sufficient as much as possible and be ready for anything that may arise in the next couple weeks, the next couple months, because a lot of strange things have happened since last summer when the elections started and we saw all this stuff come out with Clinton and the emails and the Clinton Foundation. All this stuff now is starting to come together, and I really, really don't think they want Trump in office, and they're going to do everything they can to keep him out, and if they do get him in there, they do allow him to get in there, I will not be surprised if we see something happen in the near future that tries to basically take that power away from him or try to utilize some type of federal power. I don't know. But just keep an eye on everything and be ready, prepared for anything that happens. That's the best you can do.
You're absolutely correct. By the way, Trump is demanding an investigation into potentially classified NBC leaks. Late Friday morning, Trump tweeted, "I'm asking the chairs of the House and Senate committees to investigate top secret intelligence shared with NBC prior to me seeing it." The leaks to NBC first caught Trump's eye on Thursday night when he asked how the organization was reportedly getting the names of Russian hackers who allegedly hacked Democratic email accounts. How did NBC get an exclusive look into the top secret report that he and Obama was presented? Trump asked on Twitter. Who gave them this report and why? Politics. It would be a serious violation of federal law if such classified information were leaked to the media, especially by government officials. By Friday, almost at noon, Trump had had enough and asked Congress to investigate leaks. Guys, we have a shadow government running the country. Trump's going to find it out real quick. That's why this was released. The Sabbateans, who control the media, who control the banking, who control NBC, who control CBS, who control all of the major newspapers and radio stations globally, they basically have their finger in the pie all the way back to 1934 with the Exchange Stability Fund when they took over the Treasury of the United States. This is the shadow government. This is the deep state that so many talk about along with, you know, all some of the other organizations and agencies. Guys, it's a big problem that Trump's going to run into because these guys are not who you think they are. They're really, really, really bad news. And that's just the truth. And they don't want Trump in office. These are the guys that were trying to bring in the New World Order. These are the George Soros bunch. Remember, George Soros, as far as I'm concerned, is also another Rothschild stooge trained at the Bank of England after World War II. Trained and brought up into the fold with the Rothschild boys. So guys, just continue to pray because now they're releasing classified data to NBC, which is, remember, a mouthpiece of the Sabbateans. So it's a big, big, big mess. And this synagogue of Satan, which is what the Bible calls them in the book of Revelation, really, really needs to be watched because they're doing everything they possibly can to destroy the United States internally by taking over our entire election process and taking over the members of Congress with their weird satanic rituals, with their pedophilia, the raping of children, their hunting parties, all this weird stuff these guys do that we've talked about so many times on the show that hopefully we'll get a break from now that Trump's getting in office, and we'll continue to pray he's going to get in. Guys, I want to thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. I want to thank you so much for watching and listening to the show. Watching, that's a Freudian slip. We're planning on running it on YouTube here pretty quick. We're looking forward to, you know, our continued broadcast expansion in this coming year so we can do live streaming to Facebook and to YouTube so you guys can actually see what we look like, which may or may not be what you expect. Yeah. But thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for your support. Thank you for the love you show us. Thank you for all the emails you sent us. Thank you for, you know, just getting your nutritional stuff from us. We appreciate it so much. And we love you guys. Awesome. I'm going to go ahead and let you close, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. We appreciate everything. Now, also, too, this is interesting. Rand Paul is rolling out the Obamacare replacement this week. He wrote, "The freedom to choose inexpensive insurance free of government dictates is what we need." He's pledging to roll out an Obamacare replacement bill as GOP lawmakers rush to nix the health care law. He argued Monday the law must be replaced with real market reforms. He said, "This week I'll unveil a replacement to Obamacare as agreed with Donald Trump. We must replace it with real market reforms. Details coming. Hall's legislation comes as the Senate is expected to pave the way this week, repealing the health care law. Hall is leading a small but growing number of GOP lawmakers concerned about repealing the Affordable Care Act with a replacement plan hashed out. And my thing that I keep asking is, are we going to get a refund for the unconstitutional fine that everybody's been charged that doesn't have health care, that doesn't need health care? The thing that bothered me is that they want me to pay a fine, right, for not having health care, because I don't want to pay their $400 to $500 a month premium, which is what I was quoted for health care from multiple places that I don't need. I have one issue in my life when I get pericarditis last year when I had to go to the hospital. And guess who paid for the bill? Me. I paid for the bill. I negotiated with the hospitals, with the doctors, with the lab companies, with the x-ray companies, with all the people that I got bills from. I negotiated with them and got almost all of them down, either between 50 to 80% of what they were originally charging me, and made it to a more feasible bill. So my entire bill, you ended up coming around $10,000 out the door for everything, and that's ended up what I paid for it. Well, the funny thing is, it's not really funny, ha-ha, but it's like, okay, so my original plan that I was going to have with healthcare was like $480 a month for full coverage, and I had like a $2,500 deductible that I had to pay. So I remember when I did the math on it, and I later looked at it, I said, well, so that means I would have paid about $6,000 a year for my health insurance. Then if, when I went to the hospital, I would have had a $2,500 deductible. So in 1 year, I would have paid $8,260 roughly, if I'm not mistaken, for 1 year of health care. That's it, 1 year, nothing more. And my entire bill for everything was negotiated, and I paid them. Government didn't pay it for me. I paid it them for around $10,000. So you have to start looking at this whole thing that we've been just completely sold down a river with these guys, and ask why. Why are we being forced to pay literally hundreds? Now it's going to be thousands of dollars if it's not repealed this year in fines for families that don't have health insurance that probably are in pretty good shape, when we have the people that are paying almost no money in premiums with some of the base Obamacares that literally go to the doctor every single month when they have a runny nose or a body ache. They go run to the hospital and run the bill up and get it covered under their Obamacare policy. It has to be handled appropriately and effectively, and I think Rand Paul and Donald Trump and a lot of the GOPs are really, really, really interested about the health care system. I really think they are. I don't think it's just talk. I think they really do want to change something, because there has to be some significant changes. You can't start fining people for not having health insurance. It is just completely unconstitutional to me. It's the same thing when they started fining people for not having vehicle insurance. Now, I do agree with the aspect that if you are driving a vehicle, you need to be able to cover damages to yourself or to somebody's other vehicle that you run into. I do like that aspect of it. But then again, it comes back to the government control aspect, where if you get pulled over and your insurance is lapsed, or maybe you couldn't afford the $150 to $200 a month for vehicle insurance and it's lapsed, now automatically you could go to jail for failure to provide insurance, driving without insurance. Same thing that goes with registration. Same thing with a DL. I mean, why do we have to turn around and register our vehicles every single year and pay another registration fee on our vehicles to operate it on the road? If we don't, we can go to jail for driving on an unregistered tag. All this stuff keeps adding up. People say, well, it's just this or it's just that. Look at all the taxes and regulations and fines and fees and just taxes we pay on a daily basis on almost every aspect of our life, of anything we touch or even look at half the time. It's out of control. So fining people for being essentially in good health, because most of the people I know that didn't have insurance were people that were in good health. They were like, I'm not paying for insurance. I'll pay the fine. I'm not going to pay $6,000 a year for insurance. So we'll see what happens with this over the next couple weeks. I'm very excited about the health care reform. I'm very, very excited about the suppressor reform and being able the ability to buy suppressors and not have to wait 9 months to get my stamp back after I already have to pay $200 for it. So it's very exciting. And also, too, guys, check out the website again. I told you guys last week the HGH Stimulate is on sale. Got a lot of emails about that over the weekend, about people asking about really what it does. We kind of have a description on it. but for some people, they like to hear it better. The HGH Stimulate is multi-tiered. I mean, it does a lot of different things. You use it before you work out. You can use it before you go to bed. One thing we found out is it helps out significantly with blood pressure. People that are having issues with high blood pressure, it really brings it down to a good, healthy range. And a lot of that is from the L-arginine increasing the production of nitric oxide. It actually acts as a vasodilator, which means it actually expands the blood vessels, increases blood flow throughout every area of the body, makes it easy for the heart to pump. It's in a nutshell what it does for blood pressure. One thing that I love that it does for exercise and pre-workout is it really increases blood flow to every area of the body, including the muscles that you're training. So you can really get a more voluminous pump, increase vascularity, usually have more veins, surface veins, which are always fun when you're working out, and it gets a real good nutrient flow to the muscles while you're working out. And on top of that, the L-arginine, the L-citrulline, the quercetin all help out with natural growth hormone production from the pituitary gland. So those are a couple key elements that are really cool about that product. Check it out. It's on sale for over 17% off on our website, healthmasters.com. Email us or call us with any questions. You guys have a safe, blessed night and a blessed Monday, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.